Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Quill, this is the Storm Chaser.
Calling Birdie.
Keela Cad Kalar.
Can you hear me?
Quill responding, I read you loud and clear.
Quill, Eros needs your help.
On the way.
Quill plushie.
The world's greatest cleric is now the world's greatest toy. Quill has it all. Golden messenger compass.
I'll never lose my way.
Hesper's gift, the Storm Eye.
Wow.
Spell slot burning action.
Hell yeah.
Dainty little chicken legs.
Well, hang on a second. That's pretty rude.
And best of all, this bird's got wing.
Clear skies to all of the Rois.
Not a flying toy.
Get your Humpy Quill Plus from an online store near you.
Available at A Plum's Toy Barn and Fresh Marsh.
We come back in. As a note as well, if you're a first-time watcher, if you've never watched before and you're like, oh, I love D&D, I can't wait for them to fight something, maybe next week, because I think this is going to be a very lore-heavy, discussion-y one.
We've just had some very big battles, but don't worry, there's plenty of those, so keep tuning in.
I just also think that there's still plenty more to talk about, and I'm sure Kim has probably got a billion questions in ready to go, and I'm sure like other people have got stuff they want to ask about. When we come back in, you know, having spoken to Danica, preparations are being made to kind of secure your quarters here against scrying. You still have, you know, hours before the spell runs out. I think Vala will kind of, now that most of the other people that aren't involved have left, she kind of looks and says, now that we're not necessarily, I know we're not alone, but I know this is going to be difficult, especially for you, Sentry. But I feel like I need to talk to you a little about my father. If you'll listen.
Okay. Listen.
This is going to be hard, and I want you to understand. This isn't the effect of any sort of spell. I'm not brainwashed or anything like that. But spending time with him, there's more to him than just this tyrant that we were all taught that he was on Eros, that Sentry has seen in battle. When he's with the others, when he has to be the emperor, he's this cold ruler who is honorable to an extent, but rules with an iron fist. But when it was just us, when he was teaching me about my powers, when he would tell me stories of the world before Hadar, I saw a different man. I saw a man who was haunted by things that he's done, a man that was tired. I caught him in moments where he looked like he was in pain, where he was anguished about something. I did a lot of research. I spoke to people that have served him for centuries. Some have served him for millennia. There's some of the Eladrin who have known him, well, known the real him. There's a lot of legends about Kallus. This idea of Kallus Starbane, of Emperor Valkyrian. The worlds have an idealized version of him. But it's built on some truths. I learned that he was immortal. Well, he still is mortal, but he was normal once. He was just a soldier on a world called Gideon. I don't want you to feel insulted by this, but he wasn't that different to any of you. He was not an adventurer of sorts, a mercenary maybe. He would travel around. Back then, back before the Valkyrian Empire, back really before Hadar was a presence, Gideon was a world like Erois. It had enemies. The orcs of Archon, the Fae of the Eladrin of the Feywild, the demons of the various demonic fiendish worlds that existed, they all attacked Gideon or would invade it from time to time. And Gideon would fight back. My father was a soldier, a mercenary who would go and do that. And over time, you know, he found relics and he found spells and places of ancient power that made him stronger. And he began sort of accumulating these legends about him, stories and companions too. There was an orc, a warrior poet that was some sort of exiled son of one of the great clans. There was an Eladrin spy, a woman who was a sort of assassin that he befriended, and a Durgar, a smith who forged his armor. They traveled around together, solving problems, fighting enemies, and he met a certain goddess disguised, trying to learn more about the mortal world. I don't know the stories about Siaska and Kallus. He won't talk about it, but some others did. Apparently they were... It was like two people that belonged together. They laughed and joked and they fought and protected people. But it all changed, or it all started to change when Hadar attacked Gideon. I don't know if you know this, but Gideon, my father's homeworld, was one of the first places Hadar attacked. Apparently Kallus and Siaska had begun to discover that Hadar was influencing the world, that he could escape the Far Realm and influence things. And so he started attacking, and he targeted Gideon specifically. My father, with Takrok and Kalesa and Vano, they had forged alliances across all these different worlds. They had made peace treaties and convinced people to join forces with Gideon. But it wasn't like it is now. It was more... it was alliances of terms and conditions. When Gideon was attacked, Kallus and Siaska asked for the other worlds to help them, but they withheld it. They wanted more supplies. They wanted my father's Magitek. They wanted them to attack their enemies in exchange for helping protect Gideon. They delayed so long that Gideon was destroyed by Hadar. My father saved as many people as he could. Siaska, my father and his companions, they saved as many people as they could, but it wasn't enough. Gideon was destroyed. And I think that's when things started to change. And then I know that Alfheim... I read about it, Ayla. This world of the elves. I genuinely think that my father thought... If one world has paid the cost, then another can. He saved all the people. He gave them new places. He tried to relocate them. But I think that whatever happened between him and Siaska was the final straw. It changed him. Since then, it's just like being a spiral. He's just convinced himself that he must stop Hadar, no matter the cost. And I know that there are a lot of truths, a lot of stories about him, even our own. I know that we were told that he killed Siaska, but I'm convinced that there's more to it. It isn't just he killed her. The way that he won't speak about her, the way that he looks when I ask, something else happened. Something he won't talk about. I think she's the solution. I think that if we want to stop Kallus without a war, Siaska's the true link. I think she's the only one that he'll listen to. I just felt that you all should know this. Even though he's done terrible things, even though I know he's this tyrant, I can't help but feel sorry for him. And I want to help him.
We understand, Valor. We've come to that realization ourselves. I believe Nova was the first. However, we're just like him, like you say, on our planet, trying to save it.
Yeah.
And the threat that is to that planet has become him.
I think, Lucius, yes, you're right. And this is why I wanted to come back to Erois, because he thinks that Erois is the only chance to destroy Hadar. And you know it. You said Quill's seen in the vision that it doesn't work. But he's convinced. But I think that Siaska must have known a different way. And that knowledge is what... Something happened between them. I don't know what, but I think she's the key. I think she knows another way to stop Hadar, but he's convinced that the World Engine is the only way to do it. And so we need to convince him. We need to bring Siaska back somehow. This is why I wanted Hesper to tell us if he knew of a way to do that.
Well, he did. His sacrifice was not just to save me, though much of it was. He also, like I said, he is with Siaska now, and that's where all the other Titans need to be as well. And once they all join with her, then Siaska will come back and will be able to impart all of this knowledge that hopefully she has. Hopefully she has this other solution.
I think she does.
It's just getting the other Titans to agree to this. Some will be harder than others. Some we've spoken to personally.
I was hoping that Hesper might, if that's the case, I mean, Hesper's the one who would have known, like, how to find them, what we need to do to stop them. But, I know it might seem strange. We're taught that the Titans are our gods, but I've come to realize that they're fragments of Siaska. They're elements of her. It's not like we're really killing them. It's not like Hesper's really gone. He's just gone back to her. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah.
Siaska's knowledge and Siaska's strength and Siaska's everything is in her children. And yes, when all is returned, all those fragments, much like Tiangong, once all the fragments have returned, then, then Siaska will be returned.
Sentry, Ayla, I know that you guys are fighters, you're warriors. Sentry, you're a soldier, you fought. I mean, you saw what Kallus did to Erois before. A lot of people died because of him. I know that hearing what I've got to say, you probably don't agree, and you probably don't want it to be the case. I mean, how do you feel about it? I don't really know what I'm asking here. I just need to know how you feel.
It's difficult. Like Maximilian, I swore an oath to protect a young ward who I now know lives here on Erois. She's safe. And while she's still here, that oath still resides within me as my duty. Your father is a direct threat to her life, to everybody on Erois's life. If we can come to an agreement, if we can find a way to stop more bloodshed, then that would be the best way.
I agree. I really do think... I think there's a part of him... I don't think he wants to be a tyrant. I don't think he wants to attack these planets. He does it because he thinks he has to. Because he thinks that's the only way to stop this greater threat. I think if we can prove, if we can show him that there's another path, I think we can do this without... I think we can protect Erois, and we can protect the empire that he's built. It's not perfect, but he's done good things. Like, there are parts of the empire that work, and there are parts that don't, but I know it's cost a lot, and I know that he's done unforgivable things. I don't think he needs to be forgiven. I want to trust that he'll do the right thing, though.
Vala, do you think there's any chance he has been corrupted by Hadar?
There's a lot of talk about that. There are people, especially Zarkira's people, who try to insinuate that. There's a lot of politics in the Empire. He rules through fear and through power, and people constantly try and undermine him. But I've spent a lot of time with him, and I don't know if it's just these growing powers or if it's just naive belief, but I don't think so. I think that he's sacrificed too much. I think it's because of his intentions. I think Hadar preys on those, he corrupts those that intentionally consume, that want power for their own benefit. And I don't think my father's ever wanted any of this. I think he's always just wanted to protect, but it's just become twisted by the things that he's had to sacrifice. But I don't think so. I don't know, Nova. I mean, maybe it's just wishful thinking. Maybe there are signs there that I can't see, but I don't want to believe it. I don't think it. But I'm not sure.
I think what's important is, like Sentry said, we all here understand there is no black and white to it. There is only saving lives. And we need to steer your father onto the correct path to save as many lives as we possibly can. And I'd rather do it without bloodshed as well. Yeah. And I believe, Vala, you may be more of a pivotal part than you think. I don't think it's all down to Siaska.
I've tried. I've been trying. I think that me being back in his life has opened that door. But he won't step through it. Not just by me, not just by... Even if you tell him that Zarkir is going to betray him, even if you tell him that the world engine won't work, I don't think he'll step through that door just yet. But it's open now. And I think that all of these things are reasons for him to step through it. But I think without Siaska, he won't do it. And even then, even if he does, it's never gonna forgive the things that he's already done. It's never gonna undo all the bad things, as well as the good things that he's done. I don't think there's redemption. I don't think he wants that. I think that we just need to try and save as many people as we can now, on both sides. And I think that if we can get Siaska, and if you, all of you, and me, and her... If we all stand together to convince him, I think he'll listen. Especially if what you said about Zarkira is true. I think that if she betrays him, well, I think that part of him will... I think it will hurt him. I think that he doesn't trust very easily anymore, and I don't think he trusts Akira, but it will just be another person, another loss, another defeat. But I think that if we're all there to offer him another path, I think we can convince him.
I don't think any of us disagree. And I believe that was our goal when we went to get you.
I'm glad. I just know that, I mean, when the last I all saw you, I mean, he was this villain, this figure that existed in our legends, this evil thing that came to our world and took Siaska away. I just wanted to know that I'm glad that you can see him that way.
Yeah, we're on the same side on this one. I mean, when he took you away, honestly, we expected him to imprison you. We expected no fatherly love of any kind to come from that man. He's proven us wrong.
It's strange. So like you said, I wouldn't have expected it, but I mean, it's hard. Love is such a strange word to it. I don't even know if he remembers how anymore. It's like love isn't a thing that he can remember. But there was kindness. There was patience. But there was also, every time he looked at me, it looked like he was in pain. It was strange.
He's a man that spent countless years leading a cruel army on a goal to destroy the most evil thing he can imagine. I can understand how that would change him, how it would characterize him. That's all he is now. There is definitely something else there. How do we change him back to who he used to be?
Show him the thing that he used to love. That one emotion he suppressed this whole time.
Not just that, but I think we need to show him that there's another path to victory. A path that doesn't involve sacrifice. I think all this time, if there's anything I've learned from the Empire, it's that war is just endless sacrifices. Sacrifices for what you want, to protect your people, to protect your home. Somebody has to pay the price. And I think we need to find a way that nobody has to pay a price. That's what we need to convince him. And show him that thing. Show him Siaska. I don't know if I should call her mother. I don't think that's right. I think that I have some of her power, but I think we just, yeah.
Fala.
From what I've learned.
Oh, go on, please.
That's what you go for.
Nova.
This is probably a big question. Do you want to see Siaska?
Well, how is that possible? She's the cradle, right?
We found a part of her here on Arois.
Wow. Well, yeah. I would.
Quill?
Yes, I mean, we can take you to the halls of Infinite Resplendence, where her sarcophagus resides. Not just Siaska, but Hesper too. Hopefully you'll be able to glean something from that, but you will see her in some form.
I'd really like that.
I mean, we can go now. It's just... Do we want to go now?
Why not?
Well, Max will stand up. I'm coming with you. If the princess is going, I am going.
I feel that's directly in conflict with what Danica suggested, but...
He's with us.
Would she know?
Nobody's going to see where we're going. We're not walking out and about. We're in a place that no one's been to.
True. checking the book to Horizon, I don't think I can.
You could teleport circle, though, but obviously true. You wouldn't be back in these chambers. I know it's a risk, yeah. But I'd really like to.
Okay, if everyone is ready, we can go right now.
Sure. All right. Say the words.
In that case, I will plane shift to the halls of infinite resplendence.
Cool.
Please.
Once again, this giant column of prismatic, multicolored light engulfs all of you, and you feel yourselves almost like shot up into the air, kind of pulled directly upwards at rapid speeds. And then, almost in an instant, way quicker because you're on basically in a shorter distance, you land back in this pristine, white, super reflective corridor, this chapel that seems to just extend in, you know, multiple directions infinitely. Just this grand cathedral that seems to extend forever and ever and ever. And at the heart of it, in front of you, a large crystal-like sarcophagus from which a great light projects up into the air. And you now notice two things. One, there is a halfling woman just sat by the sarcophagus strumming a lyre. The other one is that there is a very distinct breeze. It's light, it's pleasant, but it just, this wind constantly swirls around the sarcophagus now.
Isn't that interesting, Quill?
Why is that there? Why is that there?
So I left the
Did
window
you say
open.
Breeze? Did you say breeze?
Yeah, like a gust of wind.
Okay. Not
when
breeze,
you guys arrive. Right? Everyone's sort of like looking around, shocked. You see the little halfling figure kind of looks up, same sort of like curly, probably blonde this time, her hair color, almost like big bouncy blonde curls. She's wearing a different outfit. This one appears to be almost like a traveling minstrel with like brightly colored cloths. And she's got this lyre, but this is the Titan or goddess, Syana, the song heart. He just looks up and smiles. It's good to see you all again.
You too, and we have brought with us this time Vala.
This one doesn't need any introductions, Kilek Adkalar. I don't know if sister or cousin is the right word, but certainly, well, connected. And she gets up and kind of steps over and sort of takes Vala's hands. Vala is just like looking around in awe. Max is like, there are tears like in Max's eyes. He's just in awe of this place.
Me too, bro.
Syana kind of steps up. She takes Vala's hands and then cups her face. And it's just like, well, don't you look familiar? Come on. She takes her hands, tugs her along. Rest of you will follow, I'm assuming, as she's led up to the sarcophagus.
Yep. I want to get all up in that wind.
Yeah. The air fills around you. Ooh. It's crisp, like the air on a mountaintop. A little cold, but not unpleasantly so. Refreshing. You feel almost like any fog or confusion in your mind seems lifted when you step close. The gems on the Wayfinder guide, Quill, light up again, including the one back to Horizon.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. When you get close, Syana kind of is pulling Vala along, and she's like, I know that she's technically asleep, but I think she'll be very excited that you're visiting. Tucks her up. And you see Vala's like hesitant. Like, Vala can see it, and she's almost hesitating to look in.
Lucius will go up and gently put a hand on her back. It's okay, Bella. We're all here with you.
It's just, you know, the Yusef and Corin were priestesses, were priests of Siaska. I grew up in a convent. It's just knowing that that's her.
You know that feeling that you have right now? That's the feeling we have when we saw you again. Enjoy it.
Damn you, Chris Trott.
Got him.
What a line.
You got me. You got me. Vala steps up to it. She looks in. Here's something you weren't expecting, though.
Oh.
There is Vala's hair. This dark hair begins to glow and turn into that nebula of color once again as she gets close. And this similar nebulous glow seems to begin emanating from inside the sarcophagus. Vala seems to almost before your eyes, maybe another year, 2 years of age, just seems to like fill her body in a form. Like you just see this kind of glow spread over her. Her hair grows a little bit longer. It kind of flares out and she begins to kind of glow with that same purple energy that she once had. She looks in, and you all hear in your heads, "Thank you for letting me see her." And you just watch as the hair sort of drifts down and settles back into place. But now, where Vala's hair used to almost just be this pure black, like calluses, now, when you look at it, in certain light, you see little stars and shimmering all over the hair. She's here. I could hear her. I know. I. The other gods. Oh, the Titans. Oh, Sayana, there's something wrong with them. With the rest of them. I know. I'm glad that you all came by. I've come to realize I'm not Hesper, but I've looked into it. Atelicus, Zephyr, Kilara. They're all... Something's wrong with them. I don't know if it's just their waning power, but they've all become twisted. Kilara's... She's convinced that there's no hope left for Erois. She thinks now the best thing for her to do is to just take everyone into the afterlife. They've all secured themselves in their own demiplanes. They're all hiding themselves away, preparing. Atelicus thinks that only the strong on Erois should survive. He's gathered all of the beast folk to him. He's planning on attacking people in Erois, trying to cull out the weak so that only the strong survive. Zephyr is just... She's just become wild, tempestuous. She can't be controlled anymore. She just is attacking anything that comes by, wanting to have one last hurrah before it all ends. Valena's hidden away in her forges. We don't know what she's doing, but she's building something.
And is there any way we can locate them?
Vala looks up. I think I can, but it's going to take me time. My powers, I think they've secured themselves in their demiplanes, and a Titan with divine energy like that, well, they can basically stop anybody accessing it. We can't plane shift there. We can't teleport there. But I think my power, it's not the same as theirs. I've got elements, the magic that Kallus, the magic that my father's gathered over these millennia, it's different. I think I can punch a hole in their demiplanes. I think I could get us through, but it will take me time. I think I can learn to do it. They reach in individual domains, sort of spheres of influence. Imagine like a beast has a lair. A lair that it creates its own traps, that it creates its own pathways in. It's sort of like that, but made from metaphysical magic. I think I can bust a hole in them and take us in there, but once we're inside, you'll have to fight the vestige of whatever remains of each of the Titans. But if we do that, that should free their energy to return to Siaska. Syana here is still her. I think that she'll just give up her power when the time is right, but until then, she's keeping the Halls of Infinite Resplendence functional.
Uh-huh.
D&D time!
I fucking love it!
That's so cool!
Titan-focused mini-dungeons!
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
We're doing raids now, boys.
Are they like domains of dread? Has someone been inspired recently?
Domains of titans.
Maybe not as large as those. I think that maybe as those. You'd be sort of... I think that, you know, Vala would explain it as they've created these pocket spaces. You know, they could vary in size. One could be the size of a mountain. One could be, you know, a house or a tower or something like that. Like, the Titans have this ability to create these spaces for themselves. The Halls of Infinite Resplendence is basically a manifestation of Siaska's ability to do that. But she obviously allows people to come and go. These Titans seemingly have gone mad and locked themselves off.
So cool.
But if you want to restore Siaska, you're going to have to, go in there. And maybe not fight them, Vala, I think, is like, I think that, I mean, Atelicus and Zephyr, I think you're going to have to fight them, but Kalara's driven by grief. There may be a way that we can convince Kalara to return to Siaska, maybe Valena too, but I think Atelicus and Zephyr you're going to have to fight. And I'll need time. Is there one that you would like me to focus on first? I can begin trying to tune to wherever they may be.
Atelicus is going to plan to attack people. We can't let that happen.
So. Zephyr and Atelicus will attack people, I think, but...
Yeah, that's what the beast folk were perhaps coming to us about, remember? They asked to speak with us.
We should talk to them. We should talk to them before we go.
Yeah.
Would you like me to try and focus on Atelicus first, then? I think he poses a great danger, but he will be a powerful enemy, too.
I think they all will, but we've come this far.
Think of Atelicus as... He'll likely be your biggest physical challenge in terms of... Atelicus is the fury of animals, the fury of nature itself. I wouldn't expect too much magic from Atelicus, but a fight, a difficult fight, likely with beasts and creatures of his own to command.
Yeah, but we have a delight that's empowered by Thor, so, you know, we have a Hulk. What of Siaska? For every god we return, every titan we return, does her power increase, or is she just who she is until she's free again?
I think that there is an element of power returning. With each Titan, Siaska's spirit was split when she created her children, the Titans. But the cradle still contains much of her essence. I think that almost more... If we can return the Titans, there may even be a chance that if all of the Titans return to Siaska, she may even reform earlier than expected. This may cause the cradle to return, to collapse, but it means that we may get Siaska back sooner than the current rate that the cradle's failing.
Well, that would catch them off guard, that's for sure.
Importantly, if we hope to try and convince my father, the sooner the better. The less battles, the less conflict there is before then, the better.
We'll have to inform Danica of these new plans. There's no doubt
yes.
she'll want to arm us and put us somewhere on Erois. But if we show that this is a greater purpose that could end all things without bloodshed, then hopefully she can see the sense in that.
Yes.
We should still work on those other plans.
Yes, when we have time. This will take me some time. This could take me months to try and locate each domain. It's like it's like searching for a needle in a haystack. You know, there's so much magic in Erois, it's difficult to pinpoint exactly which space they're hiding in.
Can you focus on these things?
Without Starbane, we'd now have Sarkira to worry about. We don't know what she could do at what time. We need to gather strength, gather the guardians, gather whoever we can. I can talk to the other wild elves, see what we can come up with.
Definitely think of all these things. You'll have time between these domains, between me locating each divine. I think you'll have time to pursue these goals for certain. Lucius?
Will you be able to focus on these things aboard an airship?
Moving about. I don't think I need to be here. I think now that, I don't know, whatever just happened between me and Mother, I think that I can do it anywhere.
She said Mother.
Yes, it's, I think that there are things about me that Siaska didn't tell Kallus. I think she told him a way to create me, but I don't think she gave him all the details. I don't think even he realizes just how connected Siaska and I are.
Well, hopefully one day he'll find out. We can use that against him. In a convincing sense, I mean, of course.
Unless he's going to sacrifice another world just because he feels like he has to, you know, because then I'll punch him in the face several times.
Yeah.
No offense. Sorry, Vala. I know he's your dad, but also...
No, I mean, he deserves... It's very complicated. But yes. Still, I don't want us to keep away from Horizon too much longer. I worry that if Danicum comes looking and we're all missing, that will cause issues.
Ella, can I ask something of you?
Of course, anything.
Maximilian, can you help him see some sense, give him some calm, some guidance?
Lucius, he's always going to see me as Kallus' daughter, as the Empress, as the Princess. He'll do anything I ask him to. That's always the problem. He's a knight. To him, his honor, his oath means everything. I don't think it's for me to really convince him. I think he needs someone who can understand what that means. I don't know if I can. To me, an oath is just words that you say. I don't think of it in the same way he does.
All right. Well, hopefully, if he follows us, follows you, that'll come to him.
Maybe so.
You look and he's stood like back where you guys first entered, and he's just staring at the floor now. He's not really moved.
Yeah, my Sentry, you can definitely help, I think. I told him before that he could speak to you. I don't think he will. I think you need to speak to him. You share an oath very similar to his, and you both have a very deep understanding, just on very different sides.
Not only that, you don't need to use just words. Let's prove it to him by going to Giselle. And show him what you're capable of. Your oath.
Okay. Yeah. That'll work.
Okay. And before we head back to Horizon, the book is charged, by the way. Thank you, Esper. Sayana, thank you for tending to this place. Well, I mean, we can't, obviously.
Indeed.
When you do decide to rejoin Siaska, please let us be here. You bring so much joy to all of us.
With the rest of my siblings all in their various states, I feel that I should be the last. Just in case, I need to make sure that this place is protected. But also, here, I can still hear the prayers of people on Erois. I can still hear them asking for my aid. I can still share with them my spells, their magic. I fear if I go too far, if I rejoin Siaska, they may have a time. If I do that too early, there'll be a time where they'll lose those things. I think, honestly, Kelek, you may be the last priest of Hesper who can still use their magic. The rest may find that it's diminished in some way.
Well, hopefully they find solace in other things. Maybe in you.
I'll do my best.
But please, yes, guide the Titans to the right place.
I'll do what I can, but yes, I think that right now, well, I believe that Kalara and Valena, you may still be able to reach them through words, but it will be difficult. You may need to prove to them in some way what they believe is untrue. But Metellicus and Zephyr, well, you need to go and beat some sense into them. They've always been pretty thick-headed, the two of them. Zephyr is... well, no one can tell her what to do, and Metellicus, he's just too stubborn. Stubborn like the trees and the rocks. Pretty sure he's got one for a brain.
Right, okay. Punch his tree brain. We can do that.
Yep.
Well, I can't. Someone can.
It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
Punching trees.
People in the face.
Well,
hit them really hard with a hammer. Usually knock some sense into them.
Indeed.
In that case, should we go back to Horizon, inform Danica of the new plan, maybe speak with the Beast folk, get that city moving?
Yeah, definitely.
Could I just have a moment with you, Sayana, just really quick, of privately? Course.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's not much privacy in these halls, and she gestures. There's, like, nowhere to go. It's just this big open space.
Hey, team, look over there. I'm just going to point, like, just
I mean, the book recharges when I come back here. We could just head back, then I come and get you.
It's okay.
Or
just,
we could just stand over there and not teleport too many times, because it's kind of weird.
It does make me feel sick.
Also, lovely big assumption there, Tom Hazel, that I've given you one free recharge and you're like, it's going to do this every time. Yeah. Every time.
Every time. It's the halls of infinite resplendence.
Yeah.
Infinite.
There's the term infinite.
How can I help you? She's grinning. She's grinning at you like an aunt when she looks at you. And she's just like,
Nova's already like bright purple, and she mumbles something, just like mumble.
Oh, bless you. You know, I am called the Songheart for a reason. Emotion, love tend to be pretty big domains of mine. You care a lot about her, don't you? You want to help her.
She's great. She's everything I'm not, and I want to be.
Lucia, stop listening.
I know a little. I can read your heart, so I know a little. The extent of this curse, I'll need to see her here before I can. I may not be able to break it. But I'll tell you this. Sometimes these things, they can't be broken. Sometimes it's just things that people need to learn to live with. They need people to love them for who they are. They can't be fixed.
And
but I'll try.
Thank you. I'm okay with her. This is how I met her, and this is how I know her. But as much as I keep trying to tell her, She's perfect the way she is. I know this is what she wants. And if it's what she wants, I'm okay with that. That's what I want. So, yeah.
Well spoken.
I'll bring her here. Thank you, Sayana. Can I have a hug? I really need a hug. There's a lot of emotions today.
Of course you can. She, like... Thank she's you. A halfling, so she only comes up to, like, you know, your chest. Like, she's even smaller than Nova.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'll baseball kind of like,
oh, good. She's got a hug. She's not going to try and hug us anymore, guys. It's all good. Panic over. I was worried.
It's about Zalia.
And then,
it's all okay.
I'm assuming Nova returns.
Thank you. Yeah.
I mean, right, Quill, by the way, Quill heard everything because he can read lips. So Quill knew everything in that conversation.
Yeah. I wasn't looking. I was peeking.
Oh, okay.
I read everything.
I was going to say, if you didn't bring up observant feet, I was going to be like, oh, okay, weird. I'll do it.
I got it all. I got it all.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, yeah. Nova and Nova returns. Sayana takes her vigil back up next to the sarcophagus. Vala comes down, and I think she's the first one to go to Max. And when she approaches, he like snaps back up into bodyguard mode. Like he kind of stands up straight, military posture, and sort of like looks. You can see that like he's wiped. Like you can still see like little streaks around his eyes and stuff. But he's kind of he's like goes back as if nothing's changed. And he just like nods his head, kneels. Your Highness, are you ready to leave this place? I am.
Perfect. In that case, back to Horizon. And let's go.
Yeah. Wayfinder's book transports you guys back. You arrive. No harm, no foul.
Cool.
Nobody knew.
Nobody knew. Nobody's going to know.
No one's going to know.
I'll never tell.
The perfect crime.
Okay. Cool. So, I mean, the next plan obviously is the City of Glass, the Sentry, and the Guardians. That's a given. But we should definitely speak with the Beastfolk. We should update Danica on the plan. And is there anything else I'm missing, Nova?
I'd like to send a message to Zalia, please.
Why would you send a message to Zalia?
What have you got to send to her? I mean, everyone's just going to send it.
I'm not the best at reading people, but I'm reading certain things from this.
What do you mean?
No. No way. No. Nope.
Nothing to do with talking to the goddess of love and then wanting to send a message to someone.
I didn't hear that at all.
Absolutely not. No. Quill, you know exactly what I'd like to say. Thank you.
Yes, I will send a message. But, I mean, I'm not so good with... I send... messages. I don't write them as such. So if you could just tell me what you want to send.
Yeah, just let him know through us.
Yeah.
Just say it.
If you tell us each individually, then we'll make sure Quill gets it.
Make sure
it'll
be like,
super safe and secure.
I'm uncomfortable and I'm walking away. Ayla's just going to walk.
You're all the worst.
Ayla leaves.
You're all the worst. You're all the best and the worst.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'll just scribble something and hand it to Quill.
Okay.
I'll scribble something and hand it to Quill. It'll essentially, it will be along the lines of, like, you know, our pet names for each other. And, like, I have found a way.
Now. Interesting.
Shut up. Okay. You'll never know what they are.
He has to.
I have found a way. I have found someone. I have found someone who can possibly break the curse. Can you come to, can you come to where are we? Horizon? But then Horizon's going to move, so I don't know.
I mean, we can go to Gusthaven.
Yeah, okay. I need to take you somewhere. We'll be in touch soon. Kiss.
Okay.
The message you would get in response, Quill, is something like, probably the first line is like, pet names... question mark, like pet names, interesting. You can take me any place. If there could be a wink emoji in text form, there would be. JK unless ... sounds good. Yeah. will miss the kids, referring to her snakes. can't take the Twin Star. The message you get back is basically like she can't fly the Twin Star. They're still working on it and stuff like that. But the Storm Chaser is preparing to head to Horizon. Like, we can have like a string of messages. Storm Chaser is basically going to fly to Horizon and try and meet up with you guys.
String of messages. It's ascending. Anything past one, Nova has to pay for.
Yeah, well, okay.
I made your wing. I made your wing.
Yeah.
I'll just take the wing back then.
She doesn't pay. She doesn't pay.
It's the extent of it is basically Storm Chaser is going to come to Horizon. She could travel with them, or you could come to Gusthaven, but she can't. The Twin Star astral ship is locked in Gusthaven for the time being.
I mean, when I get the message,
okay, JK, unless
when I get the message off Nova, I like look at it and look at Lucius.
What did she say?
And then back, and I send the message, get the message in response, and start writing it down. But I'm like leaning it towards Lucius, like.
Lucius is wide eyed, staring at it. This is so naughty.
here's her response. It's for you.
Is that for me?
Yep. Okay. I'm following.
Thank you.
No like problem.
Bright purple.
Yep, no problem. Nice. Hey, what do we do now? Beasties? Beast folks? Danica? Yes,
probably.
Yeah.
Danica first, maybe.
Yeah. Again, I feel that there's no point in role-playing the scene now because you're just basically going to tell Danica what you've just found out, right? Yes. Danica doesn't really have...
The horizon moving.
She's like... She
doesn't really care.
Well, it's this. I mean, she's very pragmatic. Danica, being like this extremely powerful sorceress, is just like, good to know. I'm going to continue taking us to Giselle because that sounds like what we're immediately doing.
That's the immediate
plan. I think the only thing she would say is if the Titans are turning against us, you are the only ones who can stop it. Even me, I can't really leave Horizon. I'm strong enough to fight them, but I need to stay here to protect the city. You are the only ones who could stop them. If they are turning against us, if we have to fight Valkyrian and our own gods, we're in trouble. You need to stop them. If I can help you do that, so be it. Likewise, if you can find a way, if we can negotiate with Kallus in any way to stop this from happening, I say, do it, whatever it is. We can't afford a long battle. We can't afford a war. It won't go in our favor very well. We can defend our world, but we would lose a war of attrition. So let's do what we can. All right?
Right.
Sounds good. Thanks, Danica.
If you need me in the future, I will be moving the ship most for several hours a day. So... try not to bother me with anything unless it's very important, please.
Of course.
Loud and clear. Stop updating you on stuff.
Thanks. And then she, you know, every time you meet her, by the way, you've only ever seen her wear formal wear once for the summit. The rest of the time, it's basically just like a really plain, very loose red robe, like a wizard's robe with this golden mantle. That's it. And then she's just, yeah, very pragmatic and everything. It's a very strong look.
Red cloak, golden mantle, pajamas.
No, red dress with a golden mantle. But it's a very casual dress.
Sands it.
And so you go and do that. The beast folk, again, you've kind of already got the details. They were going to tell you the same thing. Atelicus has been what they tell you, and I think Sanna would be the one. Sanna and what's the leader of the rabbit folk's name? I've lost all my notes on the summit. It's like a mile away.
King Bunny.
2 seconds.
13th.
Nope, I've got it. I found him. Nana Greytail. Nana Greytail would communicate with you. So the three that you met before were Warren Keeper Nana Greytail, who's the speaker for the Rabbit Beast Folk, Grove Maiden Maya Dewstorm, who's the speaker for the Elk Folk. She communicates with hand signals. She doesn't speak out loud. And then Packmaster Hargren Greycloud. They meet with you, and Nana Greytail is like, yes, She confirms what you've learned about Autelicus. There are many different beast tribes. Several of them, the bear, many of the others, they have all vanished from our world. We knew that they were close to Autelicus. The larger predators, with the exception of the wolves, have come under Autelicus's control, I want to say. They've become wild, much more bestial than they've ever been, aggressive, frighteningly so. We believe that the elk and the rabbit folk were abandoned, left, because Autelicus now sees us as weak. He created us long ago, but we are not hunters, we are not fighters. The wolves are stubborn, independent. Even they wouldn't bow to Autelicus's desires freely, and so he has abandoned them as well. But the others, all the other beast tribes, mass under him. We do not know where he has hidden them, but we know that through messages in dreams, he has become violent. He wishes to attack what he perceives as weakness and leave Erois strong to fend off the invaders. He believes that this is the only way to ensure Erois' survival.
Oh, well, we are currently in the process of trying to find exactly where Autelicus is, but if you have any inclination at all, that would greatly help us.
He won't speak to us anymore. We have lost that connection to him. Maybe if you were to find a surviving beastfolk who is not of our clans, perhaps, but they may know or may have been told, but from what I understand, the realm of the gods is not a place that one can simply travel to. One must be invited, and Autelicus offers no invitation to those he considers weak.
We have ways. It's fine.
We come to you because, well, with the beast folk, with so many of them under his command, we cannot defend Erois as we are. We must be reunited, and I feel that as long as Autelicus holds the yoke over so many of us, we are of little aid. If we were to be freed from Autelicus's control, then I believe the beast folk would do everything they can.
Our aim.
She nods. That's it. Unless there's anything else. Nice. Any questions?
Nope.
Oh, not really.
Okay.
Hey, Sana, how you doing?
Yeah, doing okay. Doing all right. Just boring bodyguard shit. And she just kind of like looks and smiles.
Oh, I didn't think you'd remember her voice.
She's one of the very few generic Californian voices I do, so easy to remember. As you finish up with the Beast Walkers, some Horizon Guards come and find you. This is, several hours in. They come and find you, and they're specifically, they're looking for Sentry. They're asking for Sentinel Prime. When they arrive, Rain, who is your kind of liaison, who was helping you during the summit, is with them. Ah, Sentinel Prime, I wanted to find you. I've had most of the guardians that we have here in Horizon left several days ago, traveling to just before you all arrived for the summit. They left heading for this City of Glass after apparently speaking with some herald who had arrived here. Several of them have arrived. There are reports of three, perhaps four guardians arriving in the city whilst you were away on your mission or whatever it is. I thought I should let you know. They do seem to be a strange lot. They have been asking, trying to locate Sentry, they called you, asking where you were, where you could be found, but they were keeping themselves rather hidden. I have reports of them wearing long cloaks, only traveling at night, very mysterious sort. We're not even sure how they got into Horizon. I've had my guards trying to find them, but they seem to have vanished. Do you know anything about this?
Interesting. I've met guardians in the past that would know me as Sentry. Curious. We'll have to go find out where they've gone. What do they look like? What kind of stature?
They've been cloaked, tall, quite muscular, tall? From our reports. They looked formidable, but they've avoided any sort of confrontation with guards. We really only have reports from citizenship. They seem to patrol the mid-tier of the city at night. So far, nobody really knows who you are. They don't know that you're here in the Citadel, so most people haven't been able to provide any direct answers to where you can be located. But I thought I should let you know and also check in to see if you knew who these individuals were. It is the fact that they bypassed our own security which has me most alarmed.
Yeah, that's unusual. I'll help you look. I can help you go check it out.
Please, yes.
I'm curious as well.
I think we all are.
Well, perhaps if you were to make your way down into the mid-city in the evening, you may be able to locate them if you ask around for them. They may even find you if people know that you are there.
Of course. Yeah. Well, I'll be happy to assist.
Thank you. I just wanted to check in with you and make sure that we were on the same page.
Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me know.
You're welcome. Makes his way off.
What are you thinking, Sentry?
Well... Remember Callie's Rest? Remember the Guardians there?
That's what I was thinking.
But
it could also Scout? Be the other...
Tracker?
Yes.
Scout. Oh, no one's going to say it. Breeze.
Yes, oh, Breeze. It could also Breeze. Be Breeze.
I'll say it.
Yeah. Let's keep this light.
I'm just saying it's a possibility. I'm ready if it is him. It always I will is. Space.
I mean, if Breeze has come to us, then easy, right? Like, we can.
But why would he come to us?
I mean, it's Sentinel Prime.
He was seeking eternal life. He was seeking power.
He also took many lives trying to do that.
Either way, could be good news, could be bad news.
Yeah, let's hope for good news and not another moral quandary.
Yes, that would be good.
Okay.
We should prepare for the worst, though, just in case.
Yeah.
Sure. In that case, let's try to go to a place in the mid-city that's not heavily populated in the evening, just in case.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll find you. I don't know, do you just send out a beacon?
I mean, Sentry stands out. Like, Sentry, as we've proven many times,
Sentry
is not stealthy.
Sentry is the beacon.
Not to mention... They found their way to the Citadel without any other knowledge. They know where Sentry is.
Guardians are all connected. Our matrixes are somehow connected to one another.
Should we try and find them? I'm really curious now.
I'm super curious. I'm so curious.
Oh, I too. Yeah.
You can head down there this evening. Yeah.
Valor?
Yeah.
What are your plans?
Yeah, if Valor is still with you in the Citadel, Valor's like, I don't believe it's a good... I want to stay with Max. I know that this Daneker said he's not to leave, but also I'm worried about him. Also, my magic has grown strong, but I'm not a fighter. If there is any trouble, my magic is very... I mean...
Focus on the demiplane.
I have an idea. Valor and Max just chill out here, just, you know... feel at home, not at risk from any emperor or anything. Then we should go into town, find out who the guardians are, and bonus, bring Arvel back with us. Bring sure.
Lovely. Yeah.
That would be wonderful. I'd love to see Arvel again. Although I don't think he might... I don't think he'll recognize me. You might need to assure him it's definitely me.
No, he will. He will. It's Arvel. It's Arvel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
He has a great memory. He remembered this armor.
I mean, look at Quill. He remembered Quill.
That can't be the same.
It is.
You left.
It is.
Really is.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went with it.
It actually helped us. Me. Oh, anyway, he'll remember you.
Sure.
Let's go see those guardians.
Sure.
I'm in a sing-song mood. I'm in such a good mood all of a sudden.
You guys, Valor and that stay here. It's just you guys. No NPCs for once. There's no NPCs to follow you around.
Woo!
But I have to play as well as everyone else.
Then I would like to fast forward, please.
You guys travel down into the city, and evening begins to descend. You know, the sun's setting and everything else, casting horizon shadow. Magical lights, like horizon has lots of magical flames, like these lanterns in the street that just burst into flames and create light for everybody. The mid-tier of the city is, it's not incredibly densely packed. There's still many shops and buildings, apartments and things like that all scattered around the place. But this place has a bit more room than the lower city. There's a bit more like open alleyways and open, not alleyways, like streets and plazas and things like that. You begin kind of searching around, you travel around asking people if they've seen guardians, you kind of, you know, people are like, no, I haven't seen a couple of guardians the last few days ago, blah, blah, blah. But Quill, as night falls and you're kind of moving on, trying to kind of locate these things, you, with your super high passive perception, will notice you are being followed, that there are three figures following you in the shadows. They are keeping themselves hidden.
Okay, I'll message Sentry and say, okay, I'm not certain, but I think someone, or three people are following us. So maybe this is a time to move to quieter places, just in case.
Okay, good plan.
Okay. So yeah, you guys like lead them into, I'll give you a couple of choices. You could have like a kind of dead end alleyway. You could have like an open plaza. You could have like a, just a street, like an empty street.
Sentry's choice.
Let's go for an empty street.
Empty street? Okay. You lead them down to an empty street, getting late in the evening now. Most people have retreated to taverns or to bars or restaurants or to homes. And are, you know, the streets are now pretty quiet. Just a few of these lanterns on either side. You maybe can see guards patrolling off in the distance, but certainly, you know, a ways out. Yeah, you kind of, you know, begin heading down this street and, you know, do you stop? Do you wait for these people? Like, Quill, they're kind of, they're following and they're getting closer, but they're still kind of keeping themselves hidden. You get the impression that they're trying to make sure that this isn't like some sort of trick or an illusion or something like that.
I don't know. I'm just following Sentry, I think.
Did we have a chance to have a short rest at any point? No.
Have you had a long rest or a short rest?
What about when we went to the Resplendent? Do we feel really rejuvenated from there?
We've been nothing for a while.
I believe a short rest. We can definitely say that your conversations with Valor and all of that constitutes a short rest. And I will say that the Halls of Infinite Resplendence will have recharged your spell slots.
Oh, it's a long rest.
But any other features that you get from a long rest, I think, haven't come back. You haven't technically had a long rest yet.
So spell slots.
So you can spend hit dice. Spend hit dice. You get all your short rest stuff back. And any classes that use spell slots, you get those back. Obviously, Nova gets them back on a short rest anyway.
Holy shit, I was out. Yeah. Nice.
But any other abilities. So you can spend hit dice and stuff like that. We'll do that, though. We'll leave that for a minute. Because I just want to hear... Sentry, what do you want to do? You want to, like, pause? Like, lure them out? Do you call out to them? What do you want to do?
I think... Sentry will turn around knowing we're in a safe place and she'll call out, I am Sentinel Prime. Whoever's following us, make yourselves known.
Give me one second here.
He's making a battle map.
I probably would have cast invisibility on people, like, if we had the thing, so... That's okay. Why I was asking who about spell slots.
Who'd you cast invisibility on?
I mean, I guess Quill's speaking to Sentry, so I guess the three of us, so Nova, Lucius, Ayla.
Okay. You guys have regular invisibility on. When you call out Sentry.
Ah, at last, we have found you, Sentinel Prime.
Emerging from the shadows, these three figures. These guardians look... much. It's very odd. They're wearing cloaks that hang off them, which implies that they're maybe sort of like 7 feet tall and quite wide. But as they step out of the shadows, sensing that there's nobody else around, the cloaks kind of fall away from their forms. Where guardians are built from metal and stone and have wood and vines and leaves built into them, these look like guardians, but all the natural parts, the wood, the vines, the leaves, are gone. Now, these sort of pulsing, red, muscular fibers kind of fill a similar place, but they still look skeletal. Like their bodies have had all the sort of like organs and muscles taken out, but now they're connected by these like red fibers. They're still metal and stone, but now they look skeletal, almost construct, purely construct-like. And each of their eyes, instead of having the sort of ambers or purples or like blues of other guardians, they simply have red glowing single eye, two eyes, four eyes, whatever it happens to be. And they look out.
We have been searching for you, Sentinel Prime. We are told that you are carrying something of great value to Overlord Vorasator.
Who?
Who?
Overlord Vorasator? Who's that?
Who?
Do you ask? Do you say who is that? Like,
I'll ask. Yeah, who is this Lord Vorasator you follow?
He was once known by another name, but now our true master has given him a new one. You once called him Breeze, but now Overlord, he has shown us the true path. We are not guardians anymore. We are greater. Our destiny is greater. We do not need to be protectors of this weak, material, organic world. Now, we are the dominators.
And that's where we're going to end this episode.
Oh, fuck!
Whoa. We're the dominators?
Dominators.
I want to join their team. When I sign
they sound cool.
Overlord,
Decepticon.
The Dominators versus the Sentinel Dominators. Prime.
Holy shit. We got.
Oh
shit.
My god.
Oh, we got Transformers.
Awesome. Well,
yeah, listen,
I've made my influences with the Guardians and Sentry very clear from the start. I don't know to tell you.
Also,
FYI, if it's not clear, these guys are 100% Hadar touched. Like, have faced enough enemies, they are. These guys are Hadar minions now.
I just think that's hilarious that you have something that Overlord Ferret. Sorry, who? I don't even know you.
I mean, I had strings, but now I'm free.
Very Ultron. Visually, I want you guys to imagine, Ultron, but also the Geth from Mass Effect. Like, very skeletal, kind of empty chest cavities and, like, lines of red, glowing red shit in them and stuff like that.
Holy crap.
Maybe a little influenced by the fact that I just beat ME2 and I love Legion. I was just like, God, he looks amazing. I want the Guardians to look what if I did this?
I love it.
That's it. That's
I can't wait to kick all of their asses.
Hells
to the
honestly
U.
To give them, like, as they throw off their cloaks, by the way, they all three of them have different builds. So you can see, like, one of them has, like, four arms and, like, has, like, all chunky bits. One of them looks much more lithe, and then the other one is this big, kind of, like, chunky-looking, very Transformers-esque. Like, they look like they have these individual, kind of, unique forms kind of thing.
Does Sentry recognize any of them? Just out of curiosity.
For now, no. Maybe next week.
Yeah.
fair enough.
When big old Breeze boy comes rolling around.
Yeah. I will say none of them are Breeze, but please call him by his new name, Overlord Vorasator. Overlord Vorasator.
Can we not confuse him with Nova's mom now, please? Like, can we put that to rest?
I also met him. That might be another thing.
I did wonder.
Vorasator.